My guest at this time is Orson Swindell. He was one of many Americans held at the infamous Hanoi Hilton as a prisoner of war during Vietnam. In fact, he spent time there from November of 1966 to his release in March of 1973. He joins us now on the 40th anniversary of the final prisoners being released. And, sir, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, let's go back to, I'm sure, the frightening and harrowing experience that landed you in the prison. It was November 11th, 1966. You were on what I've read was your last scheduled mission when you were shot down. Explain what happened.
Well, I was the squadron that I had been associated with or assigned to was departing Da Nang, and I would not be able to fly with the incoming squadron. I had flown a couple hundred missions, and this was to be literally the very last one I would fly, and it turned out to be exactly that way. In fact, by the time I got home, the airplane wasn't even in service. So it was indeed a bad day.
Did it happen early in the mission, late in the mission, and what were the circumstances?
There had been a number of aircraft shot up. They had just shot down two Air Force F-4s on the target area, and as soon as we got there, I was not leading the flight. I was flying wing on another pilot, and we maneuvered to make runs on the target, and he couldn't see the target, couldn't find it. I saw it. It was being marked by an airborne FAC, by the way, who was flying at about 6,000 feet, and I rolled in on the target, dropped the bombs, and pulled off and got hit underneath the aircraft and lost hydraulic controls in the airplane, and it doesn't fly very well that way, and ejected in a steep nose-down attitude, and I couldn't even read my instruments, so I have no idea. I can roughly guess, probably about 2,000 feet, and going down at a very fast rate, and had to just get out of the airplane. Nothing else to do.
And when you got to the ground, was the enemy waiting for you?
I violated one of the cardinal rules of being an attack pilot. Don't dare jump out of the airplane over the target you just bombed. And they were just a wee bit angry, to say the least. And, you know, I was pretty brutally treated, which was commonplace back in those days in 65 and 66 and 67, up until around 69, really, when the pilots were captured. They were pretty brutally treated, and we all went through the similar circumstances.
Senator John McCain, of course, was one of your fellow prisoners. In fact, you were roommates with him at one time. I think most Americans who have followed his career know of the arm and shoulder injuries that he still deals with as a result of that. What, if any, lingering injuries do you suffer as a result of your brutal treatment?
Well, I was pretty fortunate. John's brutal treatment was indeed brutal, but it was on top of injuries he suffered when he ejected from the aircraft. His aircraft, I was flying the F-8 Crusader, and John was flying an A-4 Skyhawk, and it was literally, from stories and accounts I've read, the airplane was literally just destroyed around him, and he suffered badly banged up shoulders, broken leg, if I remember correctly, a knee, and several other injuries, and he got more when he got on the ground, and then, of course, he went through some rather brutal treatment. So his treatment and injuries were much worse than mine, but I had no real major damage to myself. I busted up my knees when I landed in some trenches in a parachute, but nothing compared to what he went through.
And so the torture inflicted by the captors left no lasting damage?
Oh, well, no, we all have lasting damage. You know, we have a lot of aches and pains, but, heck, we're getting to be pretty old now. I'm 76, so I guess some of that just goes with the territory of, getting older. But, you know, all of us have, pretty much all of us, have very restricted shoulder movement. Raising our hands above our head is rather difficult, and we suffer a lot of arthritis and just, you know, mostly skeletal type and nerve ending damage. I have spinal stenosis and numbness in my hands and my feet and all those kinds of things. But, you know, all in all, I'm one of the luckier people you probably ever talked to.
Well, your story is among those listed in a brand new book entitled Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, Six Characteristics of High Performance Teams. And we should mention that you and the others were kind of bounced around to prison camps, but you as well as the others spent time at the Hanoi Hilton. And the focus of the book is kind of on organizational leadership and how James Stockdale was kind of the leader there that kind of was the glue that helped hold people together. What do you remember about his leadership? I know you didn't actually meet him face-to-face for quite a while, but what did his leadership mean to you?
Well, he was just a remarkable intellect. Taylor Keelan and Peter Fretwell are the authors of the book Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, and I think they've done a superb job of it. It's not a big, thick book, and I would encourage any and everybody to have any interest in leadership, and even if you're just leading your family, these are good rules. But they've done an excellent job of pulling lessons out of it. But Jim Stockdale was just a remarkably intelligent man to begin with, but he was a leader who led by a total example. He was soft and spoke softly, but firmly. He set the example, and he was incredibly courageous. He, you know, just being around him was uplifting. And in the book, there's an accounting of my first meeting, quote, with him, and it was whispering through under a door to him after he'd been badly tortured. And I told him, I said, you know, I told him years later, 6 years later, when we finally go face to face, I said, you know, talking to you that Sunday afternoon, long time ago in the spring of 67, probably helped save my life. You were that much of an inspiration to me and the rest of us, and we just want you to know how much we admire and appreciate what you did for us. He was just a great man and a great friend.
A little less than 20 years later, you were working on the Ross Perot for President campaign, 1992. Mm-hmm. Then Admiral Stockdale was the running mate, and as a result of the debate performance, he, in some circles, became a punchline despite his heroic service to this country. How disturbing was that for you?
Well, you know, he never should have been in that role. That was not Jim Stockdale by any stretch of imagination. He is just an incredible intellect. In fact, the two people he was engaged in debate with, if you put all their intellect in one container, it would be somewhat like a thimble up against a mountain. Jim Stockdale is just a brilliant man, and they have no idea the nature of his character, the depth of his belief system, his fortitude. He never should have been in that environment, but that's a story for another day, and he did it out of friendship to Ross Perot.
Another very interesting story from the book, Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, is the tap code that was implemented mm-hmm. at the Hanoi Hilton. It was one of the first things you were instructed to learn. Explain what that was and how much and how quickly you could communicate with that.
Well, first and foremost, in that environment, we had someone's, I think in the book even, they describe it as a virtual society. We had our own culture. It was a culture based on everything that we had believed in our lifetime. We had been taught as young Americans growing up in this marvelous country of ours. I'm not sure kids are getting that today, but that's another discussion. But the tap code, I found it on the desktop, written in ink, very obscurely, after I had been forced to write statements, and I went to my another cell. I was taken out of a place we call Heartbreak Hotel and put in another prison, and I sat there and contemplating what I'd seen, and it was the alphabet minus the letter K in a matrix 5x5, A, B, C, D, E across the top, and then, you know, just go right down the line left to right. And it said, learn this code, POWs, and it said, cat, dot, 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 dot. And that gives you the letters C-A-T. You tap for the first line, wherever the position is, 1 through 5, and then vertically. And it was ingenious. And I was one of the regular communicators in the different camps that I was in, and we communicated as long as we could. I mean, they tried to stop it, but they never truly stopped us, and we always found a way to get around them, and, you know, anything tapping through walls to sweeping out in a dirt yard, and or flashing a piece of paper in a crack in a wall or a window that people could see. They're just ingenious the way we did it, and it was our lifeblood. If you didn't communicate, in my opinion, to die, and you were letting other people down by not communicating. So I know Jim Stockdale told us all the first thing, get on the wall and start tapping.
Just about a minute or so left in our conversation with Orson Swindell. And, sir, on this anniversary, 40 years after the last prisoners left the Hanoi Hilton, what do you think about most? Is it the men that you went through that experience with? Is it the joy of freedom when you were released? What comes to mind?
Well, a lot of things. You know, certainly the joy of freedom. You know, you never know what it is until you've lost it. And 600 or 700 of us experienced losing it for a very, very long time. And we went through a lot of hardship together, and the friendships forged oftentimes not even seeing the other person, but tapping through a wall, offering encouragement to hang in there. We helped each other. We got, I refer to it as holding hands through the wall, literally, just helping each other get through another day. You know, it's a remarkable story, but I think of today, I think of what we've accomplished since we've been home. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, it's a remarkable group of people. We've gone on to be vice presidential candidates. We've become senators and congressmen, authors, doctors, lawyers, successful business people, fathers, grandfathers. You know, it's just absolutely remarkable. And when I hear people bemoaning the difficulties of these times, they don't know anything about what difficulties really are. I mean, this group of people overcame obstacles that are somewhat unparalleled in our history, and they're just a stunning example, and they're dear friends of mine, and I have a great love and affection for all of them.
Well, sir, America is in incredible debt to your service and those who went through that experience with you, as well as all who have worn the uniform of our country. Thank you very much for joining us on this important anniversary, and thanks again for your service.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Retired U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Orson Swindle, prisoner of war in Vietnam from November 1966 to March 1973, also featured in the brand new book, Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, Six Characteristics of High Performance Teams. Authors are Peter Fretwell and Taylor Keeland. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.